You're listening to the Better Man Podcast, a No Deadbeat Society project, www.wearebetterman.com. It is November 25th, 2017, and you are listening to episode 000001 of the Better Men Podcast. My name's Leland Diano. I'm the founder of No Deadbeat Society and a bunch of other projects. I'm a certified geek, covered in tattoos. You know, a lot of you that are listening might know me. Basically, I'm taking this opportunity to launch this podcast officially with my first episode, and then we're gonna get into a more of a partnership, and I'll talk more about that later. But essentially, what this is you know, I founded No Deadbeat Society in late 2014, and it quickly grew into this movement and this discussion of men overcoming adversity and, you know, being and becoming better fathers. And it kind of just took off, and it's created this amazing conversation, and it provided me with so many opportunities. So through all that, I realized that, you know, this isn't just about fatherhood. Fatherhood's important, and I'm passionate about fatherhood and education and knowledge and well-being and mental health. But it's also, it's a thing about men and who we are. You know, you don't have to be a dad to have gone through some shit. And you don't have to be a dad to have dealt with adversity or have struggled with letting yourself become vulnerable. And you know, in 2017, it's a difficult time. You know, we face a lot of obstacles when it comes to masculinity, and you know, it's a difficult conversation to have, but the plan is for this podcast is for us to talk about those difficult things, to push and lean in. And, you know, we're gonna talk to some cool people, we're gonna talk about some cool things. You know, you're gonna get to know me more, get to know my partner Steve, who's going to be joining me in this going forward. And you know, he's doing some awesome things in his life down in the States, and I'm doing a lot of good shit up here in Canada, and we're just going to, you know, talk about everything. And we, you know, I don't know, maybe we'll get some of you that are listening, because I know that you're listening. I've done tests. I know we tested the No Deadbeat Society podcast, and he had great feedback, and it was like a two-minute spiel I did. So yeah, that being said, I'm going to, for this first one, I really just wanted to take some time and, you know, talk to a few people that I wanted to talk to and talk about some things with. And so the first thing I'm going to do is jump into a quick discussion with my partner on this project, or my tentative partner, my interim partner, my full-time partner. That sounds like not what I'm intending it to be, but he's a good guy from the, and we're gonna ride through this project together and see where it takes us and go on this journey together for a bit. But we'll talk to Steve Tillman. He's a certified life coach. He's in a wheelchair. He's overcome a lot of shit in his life, but he's doing a lot of good. So let's get into that real quick.
So I'm talking to Steve Tillman, certified life coach. Busy guy. We connected through No Deadbeat Society, and you know, I got interested in what you've been up to. So I'm glad you took some time to talk to me. Maybe just want to tell us about, you know, who you are, some of your background, that kind of thing.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you having me on, first and foremost. Yeah, man. So basically, I'm just a regular guy. I live in South Bend, Indiana, home of, you know, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
26, been here forever. Did you just say,
I said, yeah. It goes back to my rapper days. Sometimes I throw out some, yeah.
Gotcha. But yeah, man, no, just a regular guy who's sick of all the negativity in the world, the all the hatred, the people just hating each other and not willing to help out their fellow man and you know, and not loving their neighbor and not being responsible men in society, you know, and that's kind of where I jumped into it.
That's awesome. So you got like a like a corporate gig that you work full time, and then you're doing the plans to do like the coaching on the side, I guess, to start and then get into that full time, I'd imagine, at some point. You do there's no elephant in the room, but you do you're in a chair.
Yes.
So has that been an all your life thing or?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was injured at birth. You know, I was never supposed to be able to walk, never supposed to be able to amount to much of anything. And after, you know, a few dozen surgeries and learning perseverance, even before I knew what the word meant, you know, didn't let it hold me back and just kept trucking forward, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. Let's talk about your plans, like life coaching who, like who's the target demographic of, you know, who you want to work with and that kind of thing.
Well, my target demographic, man, I'm still honestly still trying to narrow that down. You know, part of it is I work with an organization called Five Star Life, which works with middle school kids. You know, and that's just to, you know, get to these kids at a crucial age where they're developing into young adults, you know, teaching, you know, these kids how to be responsible, how to, you know, how to be respectful, how to have goals, how to achieve those goals, and how to live a positive and productive life. You know, as far as outside of that, you know, I definitely target a lot of guys my age. I'm 26. I'm part of that millennial age group, you know, and unfortunately, there's not a lot of men. Makes sense, you know. You have males who, you know, they want to sit in Starbucks in their tight jeans and flip flops and talk about how they're offended about everything, and then you have these guys that want to go out and make a bunch of babies and then not take care of them. And there's a big void out there of actual men, not just males, but men who step up to responsibility and want to make a living and take care of their kids when they make kids. And you know, that's one demographic that I like to focus on because like I just said, there's not a lot of men that are in my age group.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a few years older. I'm 34, but I mean, I find the same thing in my, in my age group as well. I think, well, probably fits into millennials too, but yeah, I think that it's you know, a lot of people say it's a tough time to be a man, but I don't know if I fully agree with that. I think it's just it's too easy not to step up now, I think is what's happened. It's, you know, it's not easy on the kids or on the baby mama or anything, but it's easy to just walk away. And yeah, there's a lot of, and I think it's more than just family too. It's, you know, there's a lot of guys that just they're not responsible. They're, you know, there's no consistency to being a good person in them. And I think we're, as guys, when we grow up, we all go through times in our lives where we do idiotic things, you know, whether we're chasing women or whatever, but there comes a time where something in your life, for most of us, or some of us, I should say, some of us, where we just like, okay, that's it. It's time to be a man now. And unfortunately, some guys are just missing that, and they just continue being dipshits pretty much their whole life. But yeah, I know go ahead, sir, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. And that's where working with this Five Star Life group came in, because, you know, you have these kids that are, you know, in middle school, getting ready to go into high school, and that's where a lot of young men make mistakes in their life. That's where they knock some girl up, or they, you know, they make really dumb decisions with drugs or whatever. And yeah, they end up missing out on that part of life that makes them want to be mature, responsible men. And they end up staying, well, middle school kids for the next 20, 30 years.
Exactly. Yep. And I think that's the perfect age to kind of, to intercept that is middle school. And, you know, those early teen years or the teenage years is, you know, when we were impressionable and, you know, the wrong people can become our mentors or we can idolize the wrong guys and go down the wrong path for sure. Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. Where can people check you out? Like your personal stuff.
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram @SteveTEmpowers. That's kind of something that I came up with, just because my goal in life, I have a lot more intrinsic goals than physical goals. You know, I mean, I want to have a house, car, and all that, but you know, I want to empower people, and I want to do that for a living. So that's where you can find me, Steve at Steve T Empowers. That's on Twitter. That's on Instagram, Facebook, same thing. YouTube, same thing. All over the place.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. I'll definitely be talking to you more. We know that for sure. So, yeah, appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, man.
All right. So that was my little discussion with Steve Tillman. You're going to hear a lot more from him soon. Next, the next discussion I had for this episode, this first episode, was I have his book in front of me. I purchased a book from Amazon called High Conflict People. Something you'll learn about me, and I think that anyone who follows any of my brands online knows is that I read a lot. I think I'm at about a book a month. I read nonfiction. Only nonfiction. I think maybe I've read one or two fiction in the past 4 or 5 years, but I'm big on reading. I love reading. So I purchased this book called High Conflict People and Legal Disputes. I'm almost fascinated with the psychology behind, you know, sociopaths and pathological liars and those people that are in your life that you come across, and you know, sometimes you're stuck with them, sometimes you're not, but that are just seem to be continually in some sort of insane drama, where their life is just day to day conflict, and then there's conflict with you, and the things that they say blow your mind because they're probably a pathological liar, and so on and so on. So anyways, I read this book, and I tracked down the author, Bill Eddy. He probably doesn't go by Billy anymore. And you know, he's a really intelligent guy. He's been a lawyer, and you know, he worked in the family law. He's been a therapist and, of course, a mediator. But I think most important to me now, as I follow him, and you know, as I've told him, he's got a fan for life. I'm already on to my next book by him, and I'll probably talk about that later. It puts a lot of the diagnosis and the DSM into perspective, or it articulates it in a way that the average Joe can comprehend. So, but it was great, and you know, it just helps you realize that you're not alone. There's people out there that are crazy and doing horrible things to people, and that's just the way it is. You got to speak the truth, right? So he's the president of the High Conflict Institute now, which you can find online. But I tracked him down. It took a little bit, and I went through his assistant, and we had a lot of back and forth. But I finally got him on the line, and we had a quick chat. So I'm gonna jump right into
what
that.
What I kind of wanted to ask you was if you had any advice to give to maybe I think back to myself, to a younger guy, who might feel that he's in a relationship with someone that's potentially going to be high conflict and or maybe problematic with has some mental health issues related to personality disorders. Just, you know, I'm going to tell everyone, and I recommend everyone buy the book. But do you have anything like high level, just some generic advice you could give?
Well, yeah, definitely. And there's actually another book that they may want to read that just came out this year. We put out called Dating Radar. And it kind of talks about the early phases of a relationship and warning signs of trouble ahead, things to look out for, et cetera. And so if someone's already pretty much committed to a relationship, then that book may not, well, it'll still help them some. But I've got about a dozen books. And so there's different parts of different books for what people are going through. Hmm. But things I can just say are, really being aware of kind of four big problems that are a sign of dealing with a high conflict person. One is they have a lot of all or nothing thinking. Another is that they often have unmanaged emotions, you know, yelling or going on, you know, Twitter rants, just getting stuck because their emotions just kind of take them off track. A third is extreme behavior, doing things that 90% of people would never do. And people with high conflict personalities often explain that, I was tired, that's why I did that. Or after what you did, what I did is pales in comparison, stuff like that. But if 90% of people would never do that, don't get stuck on the excuses. Pay attention to that this is extreme behavior. But the last characteristic is a preoccupation with blaming others. And so if you're in a relationship or thinking of getting in a relationship with someone that spends a lot of time blaming other people, that's a warning sign as well. So those are kind of key things to watch out for. Hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's great. I kind of wanted to just shoot one question at you and get you on this, so that really my objective is I just want to promote the crap out of your book. As I said, like,
great.
I normally take about a month or so to read a book, and it was like 3 days. I put my kid to bed at 7, and just so, and then I'd be in bed at 7, and I was reading. So, yeah. Really it. I'm looking forward to promoting it and helping you spread the word, because it was just really a great read, and I'm also looking forward to catching up and reading all your others.
Let me mention also another book. That's a good generic book that I have coming out next February. So it isn't even out yet, and you're one of the first to know. But it's called Five Types of People Who Can Ruin Your Life. And it not only gives the warning signs for what to look out for, like what I just described, but it also talks about how to manage the situation. So if you're in an ongoing relationship, maybe it's a friend or a family member or romantic partner, it gives tips for what to do now in terms of managing the relationship, so that, you know, you don't make things worse and don't feel totally helpless. So I guess if you're putting out the word, I would encourage people to look out for that one, even sign up for that one now. It comes out February 6th.
Okay.
But be one of the first to get it.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. I'm going to obviously do some messaging, and we'll get the word out about what I've read.
Discussion I had for this podcast, for this episode, was with a professional football player up here in Canada in the CFL, played for my home team, Vancouver, the BC, I shouldn't say Vancouver, the BC Lions. He's an offensive lineman, Dean Valley. He's retired now. He had a great, I think it was played for about 10 years or so. But I actually had the privilege of meeting him a bunch of years ago. And so I reached out, and, you know, he agreed to talk to me a little bit. What I'm fascinated by the guy is that he was never the flashy, you know, up in your face football player. He was consistent and he worked hard. And he started a business here that's, you know, he set himself apart from a lot of other businesses in his sector. I've been following him since I met him, and since I've been a fan of the football. I'm a Raiders fan by heart, but I'm a BC Lions fan by geographic region. Nah, but they're a good team. They're a good team, and they're exciting to watch. If you haven't checked out the CFL, definitely do it. It's a little different than the NFL. Some different rules. We'll maybe get into that in another episode. He agreed to have a conversation with me about his work ethic and kind of his history and what he's doing now. So it was definitely a privilege for me. And let's jump right into that right now.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So you got a really great career at the Lions, and you were drafted and, you know, local. You graduated from SFU, I think, right?
I did.
Yeah. What can you, if you go back to those times, do you, like, what motivated you to, you know, work hard in school and also at playing ball?
You know, it's kind of funny. I think you're going to find my answer a lot different than a lot of other people. And I was talking to Kelly Bates, who's the head coach at SFU, about this the other day. We were like, why do we do the things we do? And honestly, I think it comes from a deep-seated insecurity where it really bugs me when other people are better at things than I am. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but that's kind of, you know, I would watch other people do things, you know, when I was growing up, because I was never really like, the flashy guy on the team. You know, I was a pretty good player, but I wasn't the kid who boasted about how many goals he scored, or, you know, I was more of a guy who would pass it rather than take a shot type guy. But as I got older, it really, like, when somebody told me I wasn't as good as somebody else, it really irked me. And that's sort of the driving force behind everything I do in life. Like, I can't stand that I look at somebody else and I say, there's no reason I can't be as good as they are. And I honestly think that's what pushed me to go as far as I did in football, and really sort of governs the way I do everything. Even the way I run my business, I see other people doing it. There's no reason they should make more money than I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, I go out and I push a little harder. And that's kind of, as odd as it sounds, that's kind of the driving force behind me as a person.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that makes total sense. And I think that a little bit of that is in everybody, right? I think we're all, there's competition, but yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay. So played ball. You had a great career. I remember I've been a Lions fan forever, and we met, I think a couple times, but, you know, you decided to retire and then I guess focus mostly on the business. Is that where you're at these days, or?
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of my, you know, I find it hits you about year five of your career, because the first couple of years you're just having fun and you're, you know, taking it all in. And then you realize that one day, you know, generally sooner than later, it's going to come to an abrupt end. And, you know, you find yourself several years removed from adulthood, whereas all your friends had to, you know, sort of figure it out at age 19. Now you're 25 or 30 years old and you have all the bills, problems of an adult, but you don't know how to function in adult society. So, you know, I said to myself, I go, you gotta have a plan. And I guess my only goal when I first started out is I said, I want to go to work the day after I retire. I don't want that panic and whole crap, what am I going to do? So I started setting up the business when I still had a fair bit of playing life left in me.
Yeah.
And I didn't make much money. In fact, I mostly lost money because I wasn't doing it full time, and I was just buying all the equipment and sort of just laying the groundwork. And, you know, I achieved my goal. I walked into Wally's office and told him, thanks for everything. It's been great. And then the next day I got up in the morning and I, you know, put my company clothes on and I went to work. So, you know, mission accomplished in that sense. And
yeah,
I'm still learning things. You know, I've come a long way as a businessman in the couple of years since I've been doing it full time, but I, you know, still, it's a never ending learning process, but it's been pretty rewarding.
Yeah, for sure. So are you, you guys do, like, you're like a 1-800 junk type of competitor. Are you finding the markets, like, is it a tough market right now, or?
It is incredibly saturated. Yeah. And when I started, that was the idea. You know, I was going to be an alternative to 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And the more I did it, the more I realized that you have a tough time competing with those guys just because of their, you know, visibility. That's what people think of. So, you know, I have the advantage of, you know, I'm hands-on in the company and I can be creative. So what started out as residential junk removal evolved into a whole bunch of other things. You know, you'd meet a home builder and you'd start doing some work for them, and then, you know, they wouldn't want to, or they wouldn't have enough guys to do a demolition. You know,
yeah,
say that you'd been hauling away their stuff for a year, and, oh, well, I don't want to hire some guys off of Craigslist, you know, are you guys handy? Could you do it? You know, I was always a handy guy. So, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know, so we started doing demolition for some people. Well, word got around about that. And they said, oh, geez, these guys do a pretty good job. Maybe we should bring them in. And the business really expanded in that way. So we probably now make the bulk of our revenue doing like restoration demolition and home renovation demolition.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm still I enjoy doing the residential stuff because we can really differentiate ourselves from the competitors by providing real reliable good customer service. But we've definitely got into a lot of other things and sort of steering it in that direction.
Oh wow, that's awesome. Like basically just hard work and smart moves paid off, is paying
Well, that's the
off.
thing. You know what? It really, I think what it was is it just had, you got to stay involved. It's nice to just pay the bills and sit in the office and say, guys, go out and do my bidding. But the only way I separate myself from the 10,000 other disposal companies out there is, we gotta offer something different. And what our difference is, we're known to be incredibly reliable. People know if they we you know there might be somebody who will do it cheaper than us. But let's say, like, we just finished a flood demolition for a restoration company we work for,
Oh
and the project manager, I know, he said it to me. He says, we should have had our guys on this. He says, but I just don't have time, and I don't want to deal with the stress. And I know if I call you guys, it'll come in and it'll get done. And you're going to charge me what you say you're going to charge me, and it's worth it for him just to eliminate the stress. So, that's really how we've got our foothold, and I just want to keep going in that direction.
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think I got all I need from you, man.
So that
I
brings,
really
I think
appreciate
that's
it.
going to bring me to the end of this first episode. There's three guys I wanted to reach out to and talk to a little bit, and I had the opportunity to do that. And you're going to find that there's going to be a lot of that in this podcast. There's going to be some conversations. Sometimes it might just be me and Steve sitting around bullshitting, or me and somebody else, depending on the scheduling. But yeah, it's just we're going to talk about men's issues. We're going to talk about masculinity. We're going to talk about success in entrepreneurship. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world. Ideally, we'll try and feature someone every time, but I'm just going to roll with it and let this be a journey in itself. So feel free to reach out. You can visit us on Instagram and Facebook and all that, but probably the best place to get at us is www. WeareBetterMen.com. And of course, you can also follow my other company, my brand. I shouldn't call it a company; it's more of a movement. I like to refer to it as a movement. www.NoDeadBeatSociety.com, and then that's across all the social media networks as well. There's qu quite a few cool things coming up with that project and with this project, and see how they sync up. But yeah, thank you for listening. Shout out to my boy Key 4 for making me the custom track that I'm figuring out how to get into this thing. And yeah, take care, everybody. Peace.